You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Any friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Every time we do this, there seems to be something in the news to make it more and more topical to be talking about rent.
And yet we dance to the little intro every time.
We've got a lot of questions from the listeners this morning, Celine. Hi, by the way.
Hi.
We've just been chatting about 070 Shake Off here, so I feel like the hi is for show more than anything else.
Mm, absolutely.
Good to have you here, though, because we've got some crazy questions coming in. We've got one that's just come through on the text machine, which just seems completely bonkers to me. Renting question, can my landlord prevent me from getting a mini chest freezer? They claim it will make the place too hot in the summer. This is BS, as it's more efficient than the current bar fridge I live out of. Thanks.
Yeah, this is very confusing. I don't know what's happening for you, really. But I don't think that's something they can do. The only thing I can think is there's stuff around chattels. So if it was their fridge that you're living out of, and then you're saying that you're gonna, I don't know, put that one on the side of the street and replace it with a chest, mini chest one, then maybe they'd have something to say about that. So I would just check to see if it's chattels, if it's attached to the property. But they can't mandate that type of thing for you. So mainly I would just check. So especially even with chattels, if you want a different fridge and the fridge you currently have is like attached to the property, you can have some kind of agreement where you store it or you agree you don't want it, and then it comes back to the property when you leave. So this just seems outrageous and strange.
Very weird. Why is your landlord worried about your property being too hot in the summer? Do you live with your landlord? That might change the dynamic a little bit.
Nightmare. Yeah, no, I think if there might be more complications there. So if it's a trickier situation, it still probably can't be something they can dictate, but no, it doesn't make sense to me, really.
Yeah, that's a definitely call tenancy services type of a chat, and Tenants Protection Association. And we will, as always, put links to these useful places in the podcast after the show. We've got a lot of texts this morning. What else has come through, Stella?
We've got a classic. Our heat pump has been broken for weeks now, and we're super cold. We've asked our property manager heaps to get it fixed, and they say that they're working on it. Would that warrant some sort of reduced rent or compensation?
I guess this is that time of the year where we're suddenly realising how cold it is everywhere.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't feel cold, it's cold in the house. Basically, the heating standard is part of the new healthy homes. So they have to fit the heating standard. We've had a few changes in terms of compliance, and there's a few ways in which you don't have to follow quite that, but in general they should be following the heating standard. And you can get more details of exactly how that works. There's like a little calculator online, but in thinking about that, they have to provide the heat pump to get it to that point, but then also it's the landlord's responsibility to maintain that heating system. So if it's broken, they're not fulfilling the heating standard. So I would basically just you could push them to do it quicker in terms of that 14-day notice to remedy. So this is a repair that's urgent, we're cold, it's winter, we need this to be done appropriately and soon. But just keep all your receipts, and then potentially you could be arguing for a rent reduction if they say that they can't physically get someone to fix it. Having that conversation would also be useful, but you're kind of having to, those rent reductions are always kind of worked out relationally with the landlord. So I would just be in good faith entering into a conversation about what needs to be done, or just trying to push them to get those repairs done quicker.
Hard out. We've also had another old chestnut that comes through every now and then.
Oh, God.
Somebody's landlord is doing all the work on their house himself. Says he knows how to, but it always looks kind of shit and it doesn't really fix it. Does he have to be qualified, and can we ask to see that qualification?
This one makes me very nervous because I've not been in that exact situation, but the landlord's friend, Jimmy or something, being the person that's called in to do I think everyone's quite familiar with that.
Yep.
And I'm afraid I actually don't totally know. I would be scared to ask my landlord doing the repairs for their license.
ECITO now.
Yeah, but I think I think there's a few different ways to go about this. If it, I reckon firstly, keep your receipts. If it's shoddy, take photos, keep an eye on everything, keep pushing if you don't think it's actually repaired. So if what they've tried to do hasn't actually fixed the problem, then it's not repaired yet, and you can continue to have that conversation.
Builders also do need to have a license.
Yeah.
You can't just like say you're a builder and then you're a builder. There is a qualification you have to meet.
It's like a tier system, right?
Yeah.
You can, I don't know, paint a wall if you don't, you don't have to have a license for that. But if you're doing structural work, surely this is...
Yeah, so I would go into that kind of more building code stuff where they do have to be licensed. So I think the only, if you ask them and they're weird about it, or they don't really give you any more information, or you're suspicious, I think tenancy services is probably a place to go. And then just keeping all of that evidence, because they're probably the ones that then can enforce that work's been done by people who aren't licensed. And then I think this actual thinking about what we do to keep building at code in New Zealand is useful, because it means like you can't have the landlord coming in and playing with the wires, doing their own like electrical work. Any of this stuff shouldn't be happening. So I would definitely try and talk to them in good faith again, and then that would be someone, it would be going to tenancy services about how to best kind of enforce that, I think.
Totally. We've just had a text from someone as well who is moving into their first flat and not sure about the lease that they're going to sign. It looks like they might be signing a flatmates agreement.
Okay.
And they want to see the difference between a flatmates agreement. Are they, do they have the same rights as a tenant? Again, another old chestnut. These same problems keep coming back.
Yeah, it's...
which is good. We want you to text those problems back in, because we can help you with it. But yeah, God.
Yeah, they're common things. I think also we, and we've talked about this a bit, we use the term flatmate a lot in New Zealand, but there is a difference in the way that we then use it legally. So if you're signing the tenancy agreement with the landlord, your relationship is with the landlord, whereas if you're signing this flatmates agreement, your agreement is kind of with your flatmates, and then it might, it's about like your responsibilities as a flatmate within there, but you might not be the head tenant with that relationship with the landlord.
Right.
So there's a few good kind of, if you look on tenancy services and other of these resources, Aotearoa, etc., they have a good kind of separation of the two. So if there's an issue then between you and another flatmate, you don't go to the tenancy tribunal, you go to the disputes tribunal. So there's a little bit of separation there where it becomes more about interpersonal stuff.
Yeah.
But it's just good to understand your relationship to your renting rights and the property, and then with the other people in it. So I'd do a little bit of research there.
Any questions you think would be useful to ask if you are moving into, I mean, you know, it's totally fine to be on a flatmates agreement if that's what works for you and what works for other people. It's not like necessarily better or worse, you just have different rights. But are there any questions you would recommend someone who's looking to sign a flatmates agreement ask the tenants in the property?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think it's tricky because we often just, especially when people flat with friends, they don't tend to want to do this, and it actually is probably a good idea to have some good basis there. But I would, if you're renting for the first time, I think I would just talk to other friends that have rented and do a little bit of kind of crowdsourcing about what's normal, whether that expectation sounds right to them, and just get someone who's more familiar with the things that may happen in the flat to have a look over it and see if they think anything suspicious in terms of you having a lot less power or kind of some strange agreement in there. So I would just do that, really.
Does a landlord need to know if you live there as a flatmate?
I'm unclear on that one, actually, because I know we often, a landlord of mine would always have wanted to know exactly who was living there. So they had each new tenant signed the tenancy agreement, and we were all signed on there. But if you're, I could see a situation in which you had a head tenant and just one tenant signed the agreement, took on the responsibility, and then they kind of brokered the flatmates and organized that themselves. In that situation, they might not need to, but I'm not actually sure about that.
presumably it would be in writing either way.
Yep, in some form, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, we might look into those a little bit more. We've had a text. If you care to share your political thoughts this morning, don't feel like you have to, but someone wants to know Celine's thoughts on the National Party's policy around under-30s being able to dip into their KiwiSaver to pay a bond.
Yeah, okay. So I will try and... I feel like this is really interesting in terms of research I'm doing in my own life as a geographer, and I'm really interested in how we think about the futures of people in Aotearoa and the role of KiwiSaver in that, and being that this, the idea that you would take out of that now because of wider issues we have going on that are structural and not your own fault, that then play at your own kind of future possibility is depressing and bogus. So that's a no from me.
Boom. Thank you for your time this morning, Celine. Always great to have you on the show. We will see you in a couple of weeks.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland Renters Advocate, Celine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.